Greetings in the name of the Lord. We are beginning today the study of the book of Galatians. I have taught many other books, and this book is a very important book as one of the travel epistles because it sets forth true teaching concerning the meaning of the gospel and how we are to stand firm on the truth of the gospel and not to compromise it or change it in any way. I'm going to be discussing the background of these people and why the book was written, what the cause was for the writing of the book, but I want to talk a little bit about Galatians as part of the travel epistles. During Paul's travels, which began in about 45 AD on his first missionary journey, the Apostle Paul was not yet in prison in any way. He was persecuted. He was even threatened with his very life. He spent a very brief time in jail, but he was not yet in the Roman prison. And so these epistles are written while Paul was on the road, so to speak. He was traveling, he was delivering the gospel to various areas of the Roman Empire, first to Galatia, then over to Macedonia, down to Corinth, and then finally to Ephesus itself on the three missionary journeys. And as the Apostle Paul traveled, he felt very burdened to write back to the churches he had established to encourage them and to build them up in the faith. I don't want to go into the nature of these travel epistles with you very deeply, except to note that sometimes he was dealing with doctrine, doctrinal errors. You're going to find this in Ephesus. You're going to find this in Colossae, for instance. And then other times he was dealing with the problems of church life itself, the relationships between believers and the problems that they had in church life and some of the sins that the churches themselves were committing. And so these travel epistles are very, very important. Now, the book of Galatians was the first of these travel epistles. The book of Galatians was written in about 48 A.D. 1 and 2 Thessalonians were written in 52 and 53 A.D. 1 and 2 Corinthians 54 and 55 A.D. And so these travel epistles are very, very important. Now, the book of Romans was also a travel epistle, but it was written just before Paul left for Jerusalem from Ephesus. And in Jerusalem, of course, he was going to be in prison, but it wrote while he was still free. So the book of Romans was written in 56 A.D. So these complete the travel epistles, what we call the travel epistles. Now, I want to concentrate on the Galatian churches and why the book was written to them. This area of Galatia was an area not too far from Antioch, as far as Paul's travels are concerned. In other words, it was over in the middle of the Asian area, and was in the north. And the Galatian area was the area invaded by the Romans in 25 BC, and it was the area that became the Roman province of Galatia. It consisted of a number of cities, and Paul didn't visit all of these cities, as far as I understand the Galatian travels. He didn't visit all of the cities, but he did visit Antioch of Pisidia, and Iconium, and Derbe, and Lystra. These four cities especially were the cities where Paul concentrated his efforts on that first missionary journey. Now, the journey wasn't very long. Paul went through a lot of persecution in all of these cities, and the journey wasn't really very long. And in fact, beginning in 45 AD, it probably ended about a year and a half after Paul left from Antioch to go into Galatia. So this was his first journey. It was taken with Barnabas, a trusted companion of the Apostle Paul, and Barnabas himself was like a mentor to Paul. He was one who had taken Paul under his wing, had gone down to Tarsus to get Paul, or earlier had brought him up to Antioch where they taught together, and then apparently nurtured him and defended him against the brethren in Jerusalem so that Paul could grow in the faith and be ready for this missionary journey. Now, who was the leader on this first missionary journey, we're not sure. But it seems like Barnabas had a very strong part in the leadership on the first missionary journey. And then later Paul, of course, became the leader of all of the remaining journeys. So this book of Galatians was written probably to all four of these cities, not just to one city, but all four of these cities, because all four of them were affected by the problem that Paul is dealing with in the book of Galatians. And I'll be talking about this a little bit later. Now, as far as the date of the book is concerned, the date for the writing of this epistle is probably about 48 A.D. Paul mentions the visit of Peter to Antioch in 47 A.D., and probably around this time is when the news came that the Galatians had fallen into a very serious doctrinal problem. And almost immediately, late in 47 A.D. or early in 48 A.D., Paul then writes this book of Galatians. And it's a very important book, and we're going to be studying it over a number of lessons. In other words, it'll not just be one lesson. It's going to be a number of different lessons where we'll be studying this book. And so I want to deal with it slowly and very carefully with you. Now, this lack of mention in the book of Galatians of the decisions of the Jerusalem Council indicates that it was before 50 A.D. that this book was written. In the Jerusalem Council in 50 A.D., a major controversy arose concerning the message that Paul was preaching. But that's not mentioned now in the book of Galatians chapter 2. Paul simply mentions that they gave him their approval and their backing for reaching the Gentiles while Peter would reach the Jews. And so Paul is still free from a great deal of criticism from the Jerusalem church. Now, I want to say a little bit about Paul himself. Paul, of course, was not a convert until about 31 A.D. In other words, he was a late convert. He was converted, as we know, in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, and he was a hater of the Jews, hater of the Lord Jesus, not a hater of the Jews, but of the Jewish Christians, and he was also a hater of the Lord Jesus himself, and he was a totally dedicated man to eliminating the Christian faith from the earth. In other words, he considered it against the Old Testament, and so he was dedicated to eradicating it, completely driving it away. And so when Paul was converted, it was a miraculous thing that happened. And I think a little bit later we're going to be talking about his conversion and the nature of the conversion and the miraculous nature of the conversion, that it was from God and not from man. And so the Apostle Paul was genuinely converted. But it's going to be a number of years, in fact, 14 years, before the Apostle Paul would finally begin his first missionary journey. And there are reasons for this, and perhaps a little bit later we'll be talking about the reasons for the long, long delay. But Paul mentions that after 3 years only, he went up to Jerusalem to meet with the apostles, and then after a period of 14 years, finally, he begins this missionary journey in about 45, 46 A.D. And so the author is Paul himself, this man who had been a Pharisee, who had been a dedicated Jewish person, and who became converted to Christianity and turned immediately to defending the gospel and preaching the gospel to the lost, even at the risk of great persecution to himself. Now, I want to say several things also in this message about the nature and the contents of this epistle to the Galatians. The epistle to the Galatians, as I mentioned, is a doctrinal book. It's dealing with the doctrine of salvation itself, the doctrine of the gospel, the contents of the gospel, and of God's salvation which the gospel was to bring. And so it was written against the corruption of the gospel. And I want to emphasize this again and again and again in this series of messages. It is always possible to corrupt God's truth. In other words, to change it even slightly, to fit our own needs, to fit our own desires, and so forth. And I want to emphasize again and again, there can be no change, no compromise in God's truth. Once we compromise it, it ceases to be the truth of God. It becomes the teachings of man, but it ceases to be the truth of God. And so in Galatia, there was a very serious corruption of the gospel. And this was very important for us to understand. This corruption that went on is very important for us to understand. Paul very clearly and very strictly taught the truth and the simplicity of the gospel itself, that salvation is by grace and faith alone, apart from any works of our own, apart from any self-efforts that we might exert. It's by faith in the Lord Jesus as our only means of salvation, entirely apart from any worthiness in ourselves. And so Paul taught a very, very simple gospel. And he also taught that nothing could be added and nothing could be taken away from the simple truth of the gospel. In other words, it stood just as it was. It stood on the grace of God and the mercy of God poured out upon hopeless, lost sinners like ourselves and like the people of that day, of course, people through all the centuries, throughout the world, of every nation, of every culture, of every background. These people are lost in their sins. The entire world is lost in its sins apart from the grace of God in pouring out His salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Paul preached this very, very simple gospel, and he made it very clear that this was a gospel, it was not to be changed. Now, what happened was that when Paul left the Galatian area, and I want to say this very carefully because it's easy to find fault with the way Paul conducted himself on that first missionary journey. I want to say this very, very carefully. Paul did not have enough time to really build up the believers in Galatia. He visited these four cities. He witnessed in these cities. But in most of the cities, he was driven out before he could build up the believers. And then in chapter 14, when he's going to return to the city of Antioch again, he appoints leaders, and the problem was that probably these leaders were not properly trained. He had no time to train them at all. So I'm not trying to find fault with Paul's way of doing things. He was very hard-pressed. He was persecuted. He was driven out of these cities. He simply lacked the time to build them up in the faith. But when he left, the people were simply unable to withstand false teaching. In other words, they had very little teaching, and anyone with a clever argument could come and persuade them perhaps to compromise the truth or to corrupt it in some way. And so when Paul left, these Galatian believers were sort of at the mercy of the people around them. In other words, there were people around them who were waiting for the opportunity as soon as Paul would leave to corrupt them and to lead them astray, even by slight compromises. And I pointed out before, any compromise of the truth denies the truth. In other words, it takes away from the truth completely. And so we can't compromise or change the truth of God. We let it stand exactly as it is, because it ceases to be the truth when we compromise it. And so when Paul left, there were people whom we call the Judaizers. And I'm not speaking against the Jewish people now. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. These are God's people, and we honor them and respect them, and we respect the nation of Israel. But I'm speaking against those who were coming into the churches, pretending perhaps even to be Christians. And they were trying to persuade these believers that faith was all right. They were very clever in the way they approached them. Faith is all right, but besides faith, you need to follow the law of Moses. In other words, it seemed like a very simple teaching. In other words, this is your direction for life. This will assure that your salvation is complete. It will assure that your Christian lives are pleasing to God. Otherwise, you can't live your Christian lives without following the law of Moses. And so these hundreds of regulations from the law of Moses, which the disciples in Jerusalem had concluded were a burden to them, these hundreds of regulations were being laid upon these Gentile believers, mostly Gentile believers, some Jewish believers perhaps, but mostly Gentile believers. And this caused them to leave the truth of the gospel. With some of them, it became a matter of faith plus works will send me to heaven. And I wanted to speak on this again and again and again, because this is a tendency also in our day. I deeply respect those who are very religious here in Guam, in the United States, and in other parts of the world. There are hundreds of thousands, perhaps hundreds of millions of people who are extremely religious, but they're lost simply because they're combining Jesus and faith with other things that will take them to heaven. And I want to emphasize this truth, and I say again and again, because I'll be coming back to it again in other messages, when I emphasize this truth, that salvation is entirely by grace through faith. If we add anything to it, we take anything away from it, we're not going to go to heaven. In other words, we have to come to God by faith alone through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the moment I add religion, the moment I add church, my church or your church or some other church, the moment I add our baptism or your sacraments in your church, whatever they might be, The moment I add any other person to Jesus, in other words, Jesus plus church, Jesus plus good works, Jesus plus religion, Jesus plus the sacraments, Jesus plus other people, immediately I've departed from the gospel. This book of Galatians is going to say you've departed from grace itself. Grace means I don't add anything. Salvation is through Jesus alone, and I don't add anything. The Lord Jesus himself asserted very strongly, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And of course, the familiar verses from John chapter 3, verse 16 and 36, John chapter 3, verse 16, one you've probably memorized, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then verse 36 of John chapter 3, he that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son hath not life, but the wrath of God lives on him or abides on him. And so it's very important that there be no change. And so what happened was, these clever teachers, these people we call the Judaizers, these clever teachers came in, pretending perhaps to be Christians, and they simply said, we will not take away from your faith, but with your faith you must also have the law. And of course has led these people astray. And Paul had to consider this a heresy, in other words, a departure from the faith. It was a very urgent matter. Paul at this time could not yet go back on his second missionary journey. It was going to be 2 years before he would be able to go back. And so in about 48 AD, 2 years before he would begin his second missionary journey, the Apostle Paul writes this very urgent and very strong letter to these Galatians, telling them that this is a heresy and they must leave it, they must depart from it and return to the truth. And so you'll notice in this book, and we'll be talking about this later, of course, that his book includes two areas of their beliefs. First of all, in salvation itself. They were compromising the gospel by believing that perhaps salvation would be furthered or even would be assured if they follow the law. In other words, they could lose their salvation if they only had faith but didn't follow the law after their faith. And so that would be one very serious area. And then the other area was the area of the Christian life. And we see this in Galatians 5 and 6, and we'll be spending a lot of time discussing those passages. But we see in Galatians 5 and 6 that the other area was the Christian life itself. Now, I need to stop this lesson, and we'll be continuing this in the next lesson. And I trust that day by day you will join me in the study of this important book. May the Lord bless you, each one.